When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes. And they led him away to the council, and they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God, then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips."
I will ask that you bow your heads as we start off with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word and the gift that it is to us. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through it tonight, and we pray for open hearts to hear what you have to teach us. In your name we pray. Amen. So, there is something that we as humans do that we don't always notice that we do it. It happens when we read a book, watch a TV show, and even for some of the younger kids, when we're playing a video game. Now, the majority of you probably have placed yourself into a TV show or a book that you're reading, and you view yourself as one of the characters. You might not fully understand how it works, but when you see that person on screen, all of a sudden you're thinking, "That's me." When that person is wronged, you feel like you yourself have been wronged. You want to be that person almost. It's the same thing in history. We think of the Revolutionary War. We want to be the George Washington. We want to be the Minutemen that stood at the moment's notice, ready to fight for what we believe in. But the same thing also happens when we read the scriptures. Now, knowing that we do this naturally, think back to the last time that you read the account of David and Goliath. Now, if I'm asking you honestly, do you think that you're David or do you think that you're Goliath? Are you the big giant that is cursing the name of God and threatening his people? Or are you the one that's like, "I won't stand for it. I have to put a stop to it"? You're David, right? Or what about when King Saul is chasing David through the wilderness? Are you the hateful king that is hunting God's anointed? Or are you David, the merciful one that could have killed Saul in the cave, but instead he didn't? Or what about Moses when he approached Pharaoh? Are you God's messenger standing up to this Pharaoh who thinks that he's a god? Or are you Pharaoh who hardens your heart because you don't recognize the one true God? Or the prophet Elijah, are you the one standing as all of the prophets of Baal have come out in numbers beyond what you can comprehend? Or are you the one standing for the truth? I could list any number of the adventures in the Bible. And my guess is that you always place yourself, or you want to be the one that is honoring God. You want to be, how we say, the hero of the story. Now, like I said before, this is natural. We don't really know why it happens, and we can't explain it. But when we look at the passage that was read for us earlier, between the Jewish leaders and Jesus, where do we fit in? Is there a place for us when we read that we can see ourselves? There's only two spots. We have the Jewish teachers and Jesus. Now, I don't think any of you will claim to be the Savior of the world. Yes, we are called to be like Jesus. But in this passage, Jesus makes the statement that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God, the one that has been prophesied since the beginning of time. And I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to say that that's me, because we can't. It would be a lie. Only Jesus could say that. Jesus is the only true Son of God. So that only leaves us with the Jewish teachers. Now, if you're thinking that, well, I guess I'm not in that story, just relax for a second, because you are. And unfortunately, you're not going to like the character that you play, because you are going to be the Jewish teachers. But there's two areas with the Jewish teachers that we need to look at. One is something that we do that we have in common with them, and one is something that they do that we should be doing. So let's start off with the first one. The thing that we have in common with the Jewish teachers, but we shouldn't. It's something that is awful. Now, in that day, the Jewish teachers, unfortunately, they were no longer worshiping God. They were trying to, but they had lost their way. They would take great pride and even worship the extra laws that they put in place, thinking that they were keeping God's law perfectly. They would have these extra rules and be like, oh yeah, I didn't do this, and I did this. They would do things for their own glory. They would walk around with their heads held high, thinking that they were better. They were thinking that they were holier than the common folk. They thought that they were pretty hot stuff. But they were doing this for the wrong reasons, because they would gain popularity. They would gain a status through that. They weren't doing it strictly all the time out of love for God. They were doing it because they wanted to look good in front of everyone else. They wanted to be better than everybody else. So who were they serving? Were they serving God, or were they serving themselves? The Jewish teachers would also not go near people that were considered unclean in the eyes of the people, mostly because of the extra laws that they had put in place. The people like the tax collectors, or those that were considered the sinners. They might as well have been as good as dead to the Jewish teachers. They would not communicate with them. They were scared that some of the common people's filth would rub off on them. They were fearful of their reputation being not perfect if they were to interact with some of those people. They would stay far, far away from them. But they would also walk around and boast about how clean and how holy they claimed to be. The Jewish teachers hated Jesus because they thought that when the Messiah would come, he would give them a pat on the back and say, "Good job, you're exactly what I wanted to see when I came." They thought that they were going to help the Messiah clean up the filth, the ones that they're like, "We're okay here. We have to deal with that problem over there." That's what they were expecting. But Jesus, he would hang out with those filthy people, teaching and healing, having meals with them. Most of the people that he chose as his followers were considered filthy people. And Jesus, many times, would rebuke the Jewish teachers. Unfortunately, the Jewish teachers had the mindset of Jonah. Jonah did not want the city of Nineveh to be saved. He thought that it deserved to be destroyed, and he did not want to see it be saved. The Jewish teachers wanted the same thing. They didn't think that those that were the filth were worth saving, because if they could be saved, then that would affect the position that they held, because they thought that they were better. They thought that they deserved to be saved because of their works. Now, if you think that this does not apply to you, let me ask you a few questions. When an individual shows up at church and they look kind of rough, they might not smell the best, Are you going to look for the spot next to them? I know some of you have been coming to this congregation for many, many years. You've probably sat in the same seats since you've been coming here. But if you came and somebody that you could smell from the door was sitting in your spot, are you going to sit where you've been sitting for the past 5 years, 10 years? Or are you going to be like, I guess I sit in a new spot today? Are you going to jump out of your spot because you don't want to sit next to them? What if an angel showed up and you know, and everybody around the town knows that they were drunk the night before and they caused a scene and it was all over the town? But that person came through the doors of this church. Are you going to turn around and jump out of your seat to go and greet them? Or are you hoping, please, somebody else say hi so I don't have to? Because we're worried about our reputation. We're worried that some of the filth is going to get rubbed off on us. Now, what if your childhood bully, the kid that terrorized you and your friends, what if that person walked through the doors of this church? It would be hard for us to even make eye contact with them, let alone greet them, shake their hand, say we're glad you're here. Or what about trying to invite them to fellowship or next week's Lent meal? How often do we look around at the people that are near us and think, you're not worth saving? We think the line for being worthy of saving is here. And we're up here. Maybe here. We're just over the line for what we think is worth saving. I'll be honest, I had the same idea in high school. When I was about 8th grade, I remember a conversation I had with a friend of mine. His name was Corey. And it went something along the lines of this. Corey, you should come to church, because I'd hate to see you go to hell. You're a really nice guy, you're nice to people, and you're all around a solid dude. Now, Corey was a pretty well put together dude. He always wore decent clothes. He never smelled funny. He always showered. And he was on the football team. I was like, how bad can he be? But the idea of that was in my head of, you're worth saving. I'll go talk to you. Because I got to know him. But I didn't want to go to the kid that made fun of me or made fun of my cousin. Or the other people that were in my friend group. Are you kidding? Why would I talk to that person? They can't even treat me right. How are they going to treat the church? We have the same mentality sometimes, unfortunately, of thinking who's worthy of being saved. So that's how we are like the Pharisees from time to time. I'm not saying we do that all the time, but if you're being honest with yourself, sometimes that thought creeps in more than it should. But there is something that the Jewish teachers did that we should absolutely follow. They set an example for us that we should actually look at. And the thing is they have no idea what they did would be something that we should do. I would ask that you look in your Bible and read with me in Luke chapter 23, verses 18 through 19. Luke chapter 23, verses 18 and 19. But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, a man who has been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder." Now we read that passage, and you might be wondering, what are we supposed to model there? It doesn't quite make sense. What does Barabbas have to do with what we're talking about tonight? Now, just a quick recap on Barabbas. He is the definition of a sinner. He's a murderer, he's an unclean man, And he was probably a pretty rough-looking individual. He was in prison, in Rome. There's rats running around the floor. I don't think he got a shower. So he's a very rough and probably smelly individual. But who was cheering and shouting for this unclean man to be set free? It was the Jewish teachers. The people that thought themselves too good, too holy to share a meal with people like Barabbas. Those same people are now shouting, cheering, begging, they're pleading with Pilate for that sinner to be set free. The Jewish teachers that would walk around distinguished, they would walk, how you would say, like royalty. They would not run anywhere. They wouldn't make a scene anywhere. But I think of recently the student section at a Beulah basketball game. And they are jumping and yelling and screaming, and it is awesome to watch. Now think of something like that, except a bunch of stuck-up Pharisees and Sadducees cheering to let a sinner go free. Someone who they wouldn't even consider communicating with. But they're jumping around like they just won the championship. It's kind of comical to think about that. But they are pleading and begging for that sinner to go free. You want to talk about a change of heart? I can't see a much bigger one than that. They are cheering for this man. Now, if you know how this goes, the Jewish teachers are doing this out of the wrong motives. It is very clear that the motives of the Jewish teachers are. They want Jesus to be killed. So Jesus is the reason for the cheering for these sinners to be set free, for that sinner to be set free. Yet the Jewish teachers are cheering for the sinner because of how Jesus answered a question that he was asked in verse 70 of chapter 22 of Luke. The Jewish teachers could not accept the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, and that is why they stopped at nothing to set Barabbas free. They wouldn't let it go. They continually pushed. Like I said before, they were begging and pleading with Pilate, let Barabbas go. Let him go. You can have Jesus instead. And because Jesus proved that he is the Son of God, not was the Son of God, that Jesus still is and always was the Son of God, on Easter morning when he rose from the dead, we today should be yelling and screaming and shouting for the sinners to be set free. We can tell those that seem to be unsavable that they have been set free by the Son of God. That's how we should be like the Pharisees. We shouldn't be walking around like, yeah, I go to church on Sunday and Wednesday, and maybe even on Friday if there's a meal. We should not be having that type of a attitude. We should have the attitude of the Pharisees that were screaming and looking ridiculous, yelling and screaming for Barabbas to go free. I think of VBS. I have traveled the country, teaching VBS. And I'm going to tell you, I looked pretty ridiculous at some times. I had an eye patch on. I had a weird Hawaiian shirt on. I carried around a plastic sword. For those that knew me growing up, they're like, what are you doing? And then I think of some of you that have helped with VBS or Sunday school or any number of the ministries that you are a part of. And sometimes, if you're being honest, it looks a little ridiculous. And that is something to be praised. I think of just in the last week, I have had the honor of seeing serving groups serve for 2 funerals and watching them work in the kitchen and seeing them go back and forth and back and forth, here, there, everywhere. I kind of chuckled to myself because I didn't know some of those people could move that fast. Like, it was like, let's go. And I'm like, I'm just in the way. And it makes me chuckle because it does look a little ridiculous. But that's okay. Because if we're looking ridiculous, telling others about the Son of God and what he did for us, hey, that's okay with me. But I got to ask you, for the sinners that are in your life, have you told them about the Son of God? Have you told them about how Jesus has set them free? And it might seem ridiculous that you keep calling or texting or running into this person at the coffee store, wherever you come encounter with them. And it might sound ridiculous that you have asked them time and time and time again to where you, frankly, you don't know what to do and you give up. Because it would be ridiculous for you to ask them again or to share the gospel with them again. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you're doing something ridiculous to share the word of God, you're probably doing something right. It doesn't make sense, but if we're being honest, not a whole lot does make sense in this world. So we pray for you guys as you go out into this world and tell them about what the Son of God did for them. But I'm also here to remind you of what the Son of God did for you. Because you were Barabbas. You have been set free. Barabbas didn't know what was going on. All he knew is that he was getting set free and the chains were taken off his wrists. That was us. So please do not turn your back on those that would be the Barabbas in your life. It's not going to be easy, but that's okay. I'd ask that you bow your head with me. Lord, we thank you for your great love. And we thank you, Lord, that you set us free and that we did not have to earn our salvation. But Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength to go and tell others about your wonderful saving love and how you died and rose again for us. In your name we pray. Amen.